Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ of the World broadcast. We've been looking at a passage found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verses 11 through 22. And the Lord had an indictment against that nation. They were helpless. They were a sick captive in Babylon. And He said that they were guilty, that they were bruised, they were wounded, they were friendless, they were helpless. He says in verse 12, "For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines." And what we see here is a picture of Israel. Of course, that's true. They were historically at that time destitute. He says, "All thy lovers have forsaken thee," verse 14. Those hewn out cisterns had proved worthless and broken. And she's basically in a miserable state. Verse 15 says, "Why criest thou over thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity. For because thy sins were increased, I've done these things unto thee." And so because they walked in their own way, and there are many, beloved, today, even those that used to walk with God, used to serve God, so much of the world is infiltrating the church. You know, I was talking with some minister friends today as we were in prayer, and many of us are about the same age, so we were looking back to the time when we first got saved and were birthed into the family of God. For me, it was 1973, and back in those days, there was, and again, I'm speaking in generalities, and I'm not being caustic against, you know, churches today, but as a general trend, there's not the reverence, there's not the sense of holiness when you come into a sanctuary. It's more like a big social club. I can remember when we would come to church. I mean, I and others came to Brother Glass's ministry in 1973, and Brother Glass had people in. He said, "If you want a fellowship, that's fine, go out in the lobby, but when you come into service, kneel down and enter into the spirit of prayer until the service would actually begin." We don't see that today. I'll not forget, I was visiting a friend down in the Phoenix metropolitan area. I went to one of the major churches there. I couldn't believe it. There's a big church in Modesto. I went to a seminar there with a friend. It's like a Starbucks. They've got coffee shops in the vestibule, in the lobby, and people bring coffee and stuff into church. I wasn't brought up that way spiritually. When we came, not that there's anything wrong with fellowship. The Lord would love to fellowship with His disciples. He'd gather them around in meals, but there was a distinction between the holy and the profane, and that's all that I'm saying. We need to be in a place of reverence. God is not just our great big buddy. He is a wonderful dear friend, but He's also the creator of the universe, the majesty seated upon high, and everyone who ever saw Him fell on their face as one dead. Beloved, we need to restore a sense of the fear of God to the church. And because we've just allowed so much of the world's mentality to come into the church, I mean, I'm thinking back, excuse me, as we were talking, even the songs we sang, they were simple choruses that could be, you didn't even have to know the song, but after singing it a few times, you could pick it up and join in. Because why? The Lord wants congregational worship, not going to a church where you could kind of sit back and just be entertained by all the wonderful talent that's on, you know, the pulpit or on the platform with their, you know, skilled instruments and wonderful voices. God, that's not what God is wanting. He's wanting His individual people, just like Israel did. All of Israel praised God. And also, we used to sing scripture. I mean, today, some of those songs, they're beautiful. They're wonderful poetic expressions. But if you take the words away, who's going to be singing them outside of the worship team? I mean, they're too wordy. You can't. Well, anyway, I'll get back on track. Anyway, I was just sharing, you know, there have been real changes that I've seen and others have seen in our own lifetime. And beloved, the trend that we're seeing is not good. We were wounded. We've just allowed ourselves to be corrupted by the things of the world. And again, I'm speaking in generalities. And you know, when we start pointing fingers, we ought to point it at ourselves first to make sure that we are walking humbly and softly before the Lord. Going back to Israel, or to a spiritual parallel of the church today, or individuals, there was a hopeless cry, a cry of despair. And we find a poverty in the church that is greater than any financial problem. There's a poverty of consecration, a poverty of spiritual gifts. I mean, we're talking full gospel Pentecostal churches. I mean, they used to, or they may still acknowledge the gifts, but they're not in operation. There's a poverty of truth. There's a poverty of powerful spirit-filled preaching, a poverty of right standing with God. In many, many places, people have become semi-professional Christians. You know, they know all the words, they know all the gestures, but inside they're full of dead man's bones. Your church may not be like that. Well, praise God if it's not. But beloved, there are many that are. They're lukewarm. People come in. Just look at even some of the television broadcasts. They pan the congregation. Look at their expressions. I mean, they're not joyous. They're not rejoicing. They're not praising God. I mean, it ought to be a time of celebration when we come in to the presence of the Lord. Jesus said it like this. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Israel found herself in these conditions. Why? Because she had rebelled against God. Because she played the harlot with other gods and courted the unbeliever. Is that what we've done today? She's defied God, denied his power. Her result, and what was her end? Well, you know, we're seeing the state she was in. And what shall be the end of the church, beloved? God said that Israel's condition was hopeless outside of him. And beloved, the church today is hopeless outside of him. And that's one thing, going back to this conversation I had this morning with my minister's friends, you know, as we were praying, I said, you know, God said that the glory of the latter house would be greater than that of the former, as he spoke through the prophet Haggai. Even through that prophet, he was rebuking Israel, who had come back from the Babylonian captivity. And they were just, you know, they had some hindrances and they just, you know, relinquished. They let off working and completing the temple of the Lord. And they just got caught up in their own lives. They were building their own homes and their own concern with their own functions and obligations, and the house of God lay waste. And of course, that he was referring to a physical temple. But beloved, that could be very well applied to our hearts, our day, the spiritual temple of God. Where is prayer? Where is fasting? Where is coming together in unity? You know, I listen to some of the broadcasts, and there are those that are on the radio, they're just bad-mouthing other ministers. I mean, God says he hates those who sow discord among the brethren. Are we to have discernment? Yes. But beloved, as long as someone professes Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he came to save men's souls, he was born of a virgin, he died and was raised from the dead, and he was ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father, unless they are denying that, you know, everyone has their own interpretation of Scripture, but we must agree on the basics. And if they do agree on the basics, then who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Those are the words of Jesus. And so what we need to do is not be critical, but we need to pray. We need to pray for those who have been wounded, or I should say even corrupted by the world. That's how God saw their condition. They were really corrupt. They were in sin. They were, you know, they had abandoned God and spurned the covenant that had been established, that old covenant with them, the Mosaic law. Yet God called their condition grievous and that they were wounded. And beloved, today, unless we're walking humbly before the Lord, our condition, if we've allowed other idols, other gods to creep into our lives, if we're more concerned about our own needs and ourselves rather than the greater needs of God's heart, His heart to see souls saved, to see the gospel go forth to the uttermost part of the earth, you may not be able to go to Africa or Asia to preach the gospel, but you can help support missionaries. That's one of the things UCM is committed to for years. We've done that probably since 2004, on a regular basis. 10-20% of UCM income goes to missions, and of course one of our concerns has been the persecuted church and Native American missions, but also small ministries that don't have the notoriety and the publicity of national television or radio. And so, beloved, we need to have God's heart, God's priority for the things that are critical today. We are living in the end times. We look at the condition of the world, the nation, and we don't know how much time we have left before Jesus returns. But I want to leave you, as my time is drawing close to a time that I must sign off, God said that He would have the glory of the latter house should be greater than that of the former. And we looked at the early church, the wonderful power that they walked in, the people that were raised from the dead, the healings, the power of God. Well, for those who are going to be walk with the Lord with all of their heart, then that latter house, those who will seek the Lord, that latter-day church, He will fill with His glory, beloved. And I don't know about you, but I am hungering for that. I call out in behalf of the church and the body of Christ and UCM partners and those that are listening in the radio audience that we could be filled with God's Spirit so that we will be bold and fearless in this hour and proclaim the goodness and mercy and salvation of our God. Praise God. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. If you have prayer needs, I invite you to share them with me. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,